is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Where in the world is Qin Gang, the foreign minister of the People's Republic of China, formerly the ambassador from the People's Republic of China to the United States? According to CNN, not seen since June 25th in Beijing, when he met officials from three friendly states, Vietnam, Russia, and Sri Lanka. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host and friend, and we're joined by Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute. We are playing a game called Where in the World is Qin Gang? There are hints, but there's no clarity. Charles, a very good evening to you. Qin Gang, he is a man on the rise, and yet he's now disappeared. What are the possibilities? Because the Chinese media is not telling us where he is. Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, I mean, he was on the very rapid rise, suggesting that he was someone who has been designated by Xi Jinping to take over China's foreign affairs management and presumably eventually displace Wang Yi as the senior foreign affairs minister in the, you know, the party's foreign affairs minister. His disappearance, therefore, could suggest that there are more and more elements within the Chinese Communist Party dissatisfied with Mr. Xi, maybe his foreign policy approach. And Mr. Qin has disappeared for political reasons. And there is a lot of speculation, of course, that he's in the People's Liberation Army 301 hospital being treated for liver disease, although last time we saw him on June 25th, he seemed very hale and hearty. And then the idea that he's been purged for ethical lapses because of an affair with a Phoenix TV reporter, Fu Xiaotian, who has had a child whose name, Er Qin, sounds awfully like Mr. Qin's name. She is a remarkable figure. In 2016, she donated a garden to Churchill College, Cambridge, where she was educated. And the next year, she was knighted with the Order of Stella d'Italia, the Star of Italy, by the Italian government. She has apparently left the United States on a private plane, which is an unusual mode of transportation for Cambridge graduates like myself. In any event, we don't know what's really happened. And the questions that have been asked of the Chinese foreign ministry at their daily press briefing by foreign reporters have been deleted from the transcripts of those press conferences. So something's going on. I don't think it's good news for Mr. Xi, and certainly very bad news for Mr. Qin.
Gordon, what was your first intuition when you heard this story? It's been developing over several days.
My sense was that there was turmoil at the top of the Communist Party. I didn't know exactly what was going on. But as Charles has said, Qin has been associated with Xi Jinping. His rapid rise was due to China's leader. So it probably had something to do with Xi Jinping. And as Charles has now more fully explained, this does look like problems for China's paramount leader.
You have a question for Charles.
Charles, Wang Yi, who is the Communist Party's boss for the foreign minister, in other words, China's top diplomat, has been doing a lot of work recently. He's been making the rounds. He's been talking to John Kerry, for instance, our climate czar, who is now in Beijing. How do you think this affects Wang Yi himself?
Well, I mean, the difference between Mr. Wang and Mr. Qin is that Mr. Qin is a member of the Red Nobility. His family are, you know, early participants in the revolution. Mr. Wang doesn't have this kind of pedigree. So it could be that, in fact, we're seeing a movement in China to displace Xi and his coterie of descendants of those who successfully fought the Revolutionary Wars. And so it might be good news for Mr. Wang, but as you say, he's now got two jobs and is obviously under a great deal of stress. And whether he would also go down with Mr. Qin remains to be seen. But typically these things have a cascading effect, and one might see some quite substantial changes in the way things are done in China. And of course, the usual alternative when things start to get rocky is that the People's Liberation Army takes on a greater role.
Yeah, there are irregularities here that remind me of the news around Bo Xilai and what eventually became his fall, his purge and fall, and the same for his wife. But initially, it was something disruptive. As I recall, there was an official who traveled to another city and was making remarks out of turn and involved the 14th Army, is my memory. Is that correct, Gordon? The 14th Army was involved?
And that's right. That was an army group that was headed by Bush Eli's father in a previous era. And the official you're talking about was the head of police in Chongqing. Charles will be able to correct me, whose last name, I believe, was Wong. But Charles will know better.
But Charles, my memory is that it starts off center over here. Why would this man have gone to the 14th Army to talk about what? And then it eventually becomes clear that it's about Xi moving against Bo, a major battle of the two giants. Bo is now in jail and Xi's number one. Is that possible that what we're seeing with Qin is a small piece of a much larger story?
Oh, I think it's certainly a small piece of a much larger story. I mean, unless we see him coming out of the hospital and we actually do see that he has liver disease, which seems extremely unlikely, it suggests there's a lot more going on here than simply revelations about an affair by a senior Chinese communist official. I mean, in the case of Bo Xilai, it also started with a putative scandal, which was the poisoning of Neil Hayward, a British national who had been assisting the Bo family with regard to education for their son, Bo Guagua. Whether that story that Mr. Hayward was poisoned by Bo Xilai's wife is true or not remains to be seen. Certainly Mr. Hayward's family has been quite quiet about it. And so one sees these things coming up as a sort of harbinger of worse to come. So, you know, the next revelations you get are interviews with their kindergarten teachers that say that they were bad from the word go. In other words, in China, it's moral errors that really count more than anything else. And these kind of people are seen as having been insinuating themselves into the halls of power with other purposes. And of course, in the case of Fu Xiaoting, the other revelations are that she is a double agent working for the British as well as the Chinese. Of course, any Chinese reporter is an agent for the Chinese Minister of State Security, I think. And so that adds a further sort of possibility to the idea that he will be seen as someone who wasn't loyal to China after all.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles. We have about a minute.
Charles, with all the problems in China right now, and with Xi Jinping having total power and accountability, it would seem that there has got to be further turbulence down the road as people challenge Xi Jinping's policies. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, that's definitely the case, because having purged all other elements in the policymaking and decision-making process in China, the buck always stops with Xi. So if there is something wrong with Qin, then Xi really has to bear responsibility, and that will be devastating for his role, particularly in the context of the economy declining and the prospect of a dangerous war over Taiwan, all of which fall on Xi's shoulders. He really can't blame it on anybody else.
What's a timeline for these sorts of scandals, Charles? Does it play out quickly or over years?
I think we'll have more in the weeks ahead. I doubt that this matter will lay dormant for very long, and we'll probably see all sorts of other people associated with Mr. Qin being seen as part of some kind of anti-party group that has been conspiring against China, maybe the suggestion being that Xi Jinping knew about it and didn't do anything about it for his own nefarious purposes. You know, these stories are the stuff of Le Carre novels, not
yes.
The stuff of normal politics in democracies.
Charles Burton, Gordon Chang, I'm John Patrick.